send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Soon you'll find Madani can make you just as mad as McCowan. A rash Madani guest hosts primetime sports for Bob McCowan on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Well, the Blue Jays certainly hope there will be some glory days. There have been a lot of those for Adam Jones and the Orioles.
Oh.
Nice little reunion. Buck Martinez, Adam Jones.
Just sent him an invoice for that meal.
You missed it earlier. Many moons ago, Buck Martinez sat down with Matt Wieters, Adam Jones, Nolan Reimel, the number of the Orioles.
In Seattle, yeah.
In Seattle. Show them a little bit of the way to become a big leaguer. Welcome back to Primetime Sports here on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks. Arash Madani, John Shannon in for Bob and Damian. They will be back later this week. Blue Jays Orioles opening up a huge set tonight at Rogers Center, the final home series of the season. Following this one, Toronto goes off to Boston to face the Red Sox. The news not good for Joaquin Benoit. It is a torn calf, similar to the injury Brett Cecil suffered last year. John Gibbons said it's too early to tell if he's out for the year. Our Ben Nicholson-Smith reporting that Benoit is in a walking boot. He felt a pop when he left the bullpen running out to the brawl. He has been told, Nicholson-Smith said, that Benoit could perhaps return in 2 to 3 weeks. It's all systems go for the Baltimore Orioles as we welcome in Gary Thorne, the television voice of the O's.
Hold on. Tell me.
What?
Team Canada or Europe?
What?
Team Canada.
It's Team Canada.
You're a hockey guy, man.
It's Team Canada.
You're a hockey guy.
It has to be Team Canada. You got your home ice. You got the fans. You got the greatest players in the world. How can you not win?
Gary, do people ask you more about your television stuff or your video game stuff? Honestly.
Pretty much equal.
Equal, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm amazed at the number of comments I get. I apologize to parents for interfering with their home life, for constantly having to hear me on some of the both baseball and hockey games. Thank the good Lord those things came along. But, yeah, it's great. Number of kids that do it amaze me.
Fitting that we're talking to Gary today, the man who called Wayne Gretzky's 802nd goal on ESPN as he surpassed Gordie Howe, and Wayne Gretzky gets brought back into the NHL family today as the ambassador for the Centennial.
I saw that.
And last time Gary and I were working together, 2002 Salt Lake, Canada, USA, Looney at center ice.
Looney at center. And, dig it out.
And Mario and Iserman and Canada wins the gold medal game.
Great game.
I wanted to ask you, Gary, your best Jim Palmer story, but I guess I got to ask you your best John Shannon story first.
No.
As in both cases, neither can be repeated. You're stuck with that.
Oh, man.
This Baltimore team can mash, huh? They can hit.
Yeah, well, that's obviously that's their MO. That's how they've played all year long. They're a home run hitting ball club, and generally if they don't hit home runs, they don't win. And usually you got to have multi-homers in the ball game, a couple of them good for 3 or 4 runs. 4 is still the magic number in baseball, true for the Orioles and everybody else. You get 4 or more, you win. You get 3 or fewer, you lose. And so the Orioles don't manufacture runs. They don't run. They've stolen and attempted the fewest base steals in all of the majors this year. So it's about the long ball. They've got to hit the long ball. They've got to line up literally top to bottom that can do that. If you can shut that down, you got a pretty good chance of winning.
Almost like the Orioles are looking into the mirror, though, when you look at this team on the other side.
Yeah, you've probably got a little more speed, and you got a couple of gap hitters that the Orioles may not have. But of late here in the month of September, that's how both these teams have gone. It's been that way all year. They're 1-2 in home runs in the course of the season. So, pity the pitcher who can't keep the ball down or doesn't have a good rising fastball that can get by somebody. That's the name of the game. It has been all year, and it's not going to change in this series.
Kevin Gausman's been so good, especially of late. What's allowed he gets the ball tonight for the Orioles? What's working for him right now?
Well, fastball command's the key. He's one of those guys with reverse numbers higher average against him by right-handed hitters than left-handed hitters. That's because he's developed an outstanding changeup, split finger change, which gets lefties out. But he doesn't have that corresponding pitch to go against a right-hander, so their average tends to be a little bit higher. That's the secret of what he's done this season, is finding the changeup to get the lefties out. We'll see tonight or not. Two games ago, he had a little pain in the intercostal area. He came out and they let him have an extra day rest. Last game he pitched, he came out again after pitching against Boston. Thought that, again, that muscle problem here was bothering him. They gave him another couple of days, so I think tonight it's 6 days rest he's pitching on. Will that intercostal problem, if that's what it is, act up again and bother him tonight? I mean, the Orioles are holding their breath on that one.
Injury aside, how patient does Showalter get with these guys?
Oh, he's very patient with these guys. Largely because it's the age-old question, John, of have I got somebody in the bullpen who's better than who I got on the mound?
Right.
I mean, that's the manager's question every time you think about changing. And in most cases early in a ball game, the answer is the guy I got on the mound for the Orioles is probably better than the guy I got in the bullpen. Now, you get to the sixth inning and later, that all changes, especially with the expanded rosters. But he'll be patient with them unless he sees Kevin's struggling. If the ball's up, if his velocity's not at 95, 96 once in a while, then maybe he's got a problem. And if he sees that, then he's got to go get him.
Gary Thorne is with us, the television voice of the Baltimore Orioles. The Blue Jays got themselves in a mess last night. A couple of times the bench is cleared, the bullpen's emptied. This is a nice little rivalry, Toronto and Baltimore. Both teams have a lot to play for here. This is huge. Do you see tempers flaring at all over the next few days?
Absolutely. I mean, these teams have always had flare-ups. There's always been a lot of yapping that goes on between these two teams, and absolutely that could happen. And I would not be surprised to see the Orioles pitch inside to Donaldson early. I mean, it's a fact that you can get him off his game if you get him concerned, more concerned about what's going on between he and a pitcher in a ball game than what's going on overall in the game. And, I mean, not hit him. I'm not saying throw at him or anything, but he's clearly
going to get him off his feet.
Yeah, get him off his feet and make him move a little bit. And he's clearly going to be thinking about last night. It's there for all of the Jays after what happened. And, you know, if you can get him to bite again on it, Buck will say okay.
How much pressure is on the Orioles to be on the road for this series as opposed to being at Camden Yards?
Well, they haven't played particularly well on the road this year, and they played very well at home. So in that sense, yes. But they've played better in September on the road than they have all year. Mm-hmm. So I think they've kind of gotten that together. These two teams have just exploded for offenses in the games played here in Toronto over the last 2 years. That's not the kind of game the Orioles really want to get into, and I don't think the Blue Jays do either, so we'll see. But, I mean, there's a home field advantage, I think, for both the Jays playing well here and two, the Orioles not so well on the road.
Gary, this Red Sox run over the last
11.
Yeah, but really the last 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
There had been so much talk, man, their bullpen's a mess, and that's a firecracker. And I think that almost every team in the AL is flawed in some way or another. Mm-hmm. Did you see this coming this way to down the stretch of the regular season?
Well, I don't know, as not as positively as the Red Sox have done. But I thought the Red Sox would be there from the beginning of the year. You look at their talent lineup. I thought even their pitching would be a little better than what it's been this year. I didn't expect them to run off the month of August and September the way they're running them off, to have 11 straight going here. They've got everything going for them right now. When they played the Orioles in that four-game set and swept, I never thought that was going to happen at Camden Yards. But everything they needed to do, they did. I mean, their starters went deep into ball games, effectively so. Their bullpen middle and end was there. The guys are hitting. They're hitting home runs. Ortiz continues a season that you just can't even explain.
Yeah.
And they're healthier probably than they've been. I mean, they got some guys back. Pedroia was not feeling well month of August a bit. He seems to be much better as hitting the ball. I mean, they're for real. That's not a fluke.
Yeah. I know you got to go. You got work to do. You have another job.
I do?
Apparently. You expect to be bad here on Monday?
Yeah.
163?
I don't know whether it'll be here or Baltimore.
But
I think these two are going to play a wild card game.
It'll be something, man.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. Yeah, and both these teams know that. I mean, they come into this game knowing, you know, we're trying to set a mental attitude here, not just about this series, but also about what if we end up in that final game. And they sure as heck, both of them wanted to be at home. I mean, for every reason, they want to play that game at home. So that's a big deal as to what goes on in this series, as well as hanging on to your wild card spot. So we'll see, but I think there'll be
lots of scoreboard watching Saturday and Sunday.
A lot of fun, isn't it?
Oh,
this is the best September baseball.
It is.
Go Canadian! Win the cup!
Gary Thorne.
You're the best, man.
Television voice of the Baltimore Orioles and the video game voice on EA Sports.
And I apologize to all the parents.
There you go. All Gary, right. It was great to see you,
my
man.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We won an Emmy in 2002, by the way.
Did you?
Yes, we did.
Who went up on stage?
Nobody. It came in the mail.
He's right. It came in the mail.
Very good.
It came in the mail.
Very good.
I think I had to pay customs fees.
Oh, Lord, I didn't have to do that. I was okay.
Gary, good to see you,
Thank
man.
Thank you, guys.
John, this is wild, isn't it?
Oh,
one
great.
Week to go,
yeah.
and you have no idea. You have no idea what's to come. You have no idea what's ahead. I mean, it must be driving some of the people in the Blue Jay front office crazy, just like it would be for the Orioles and so many other teams in the mix. You know, we talk about playoff experience and having been through it before, but this is an altogether different deal. I don't know how many of these guys have actually dealt with a legit race like this.
I mean, obviously, with what Toronto fans and the Blue Jays went through last year, was a vastly different story than this. But remember that? Do you remember the last day of the regular season? I want to say 3 years ago.
2011, believe it was.
Okay. God, time flies.
Yeah.
And there were games in three cities simultaneously that meant something for the playoff run.
I remember the Longoria home run over the left field wall.
And there was a game in Baltimore that was a factor. There was a game at Yankee Stadium that was a factor. To me, that's what the, you know, again, the American League East is such a big factor in this, but it is so much fun, and then you got the Tigers sitting there trying to figure out how to get back in this thing, and if they can get back into it, that it's a very, very – it's an exciting time. Hey, Wilner.
Hello, Mr. Shannon.
How are you, big boy?
I'm all right.
It's Mike Wilner time here on Primetime Sports.
What we do is
the best intro I've ever had.
We just you know, we sit here, talk, and then somebody else shows
somebody
up.
Somebody else
it's
shows
magical.
Up.
It's magical.
I'm looking over through the lights to see who else I can find. Wilner, how are you?
You don't like Wilner?
Yeah, am I not enough?
We got 48 more minutes to go, brother.
There's lots to talk about.
Hey,
we got hockey to talk about, Stu. Don't forget that. What do you think of the game tonight?
There's a game tonight?
Oh, shame on you.
Okay, so let's get to this Joaquin Benoit thing.
What I think, John, is that I don't know how we're going to be able to steel ourselves after the decades-long rivalry between Canada and Team Europe to be able to watch this game tonight.
Touché.
Very well done.
Very well done.
Very well done. So last night, John Gibbons says the Benoit thing is like the Cecil thing of last October. Then today in his office, Gibbons says it's a torn calf.
Which is what the Cecil thing was.
And then Ben Nicholson-Smith reports that Ben was in a walking boot.
Yep.
He's on crutches. He felt a pop leaving the bullpen.
All true.
And he has been told he could return in 2 to 3 weeks.
Isn't that nuts? Well, remember what happened to Brett Cecil last year. Brett Cecil tore his calf in game 2 of the ALCS.
Right.
I don't remember what the exact dates were of the games, but he was ready to come back by game 4 of the next round. And what he told us was that because it was fully torn, didn't matter anymore. The muscle's not attached, so there was some sort of, if I can handle the pain, I can walk, I can pitch, I can run. Not well, but I mean, he's a relief pitcher, right? He doesn't have to run well.
Yeah.
So he was ready in
running
in a couple
got him
of weeks.
Got him into the mess.
Running
to
is
begin
what got him in the mess, yeah.
Right.
So we're assuming the same thing might happen with Benoit. Now, that doesn't mean it will be healed, but what it means is it'll be okay enough for him to pitch on. But again, in order for it to matter, the Blue Jays have to make the playoffs, win the wild card game, and win the first round.
Right.
So let me
ask
you this.
He won't be available until the ALCS.
Will the Blue Jays be playing in 2 or 3 weeks?
I have no idea.
Well, Wilner.
The thing is, look, it's the wild card game, and this is the first time in the history of this wild card game where we've had a horse in the race as Blue Jays observers, right? We've never seen this one-game do-or-die thing before, and the truth of the matter is you could have the Cincinnati Reds playing against the Chicago Cubs in a one-game playoff, and the Reds could win. Look what the Reds did to St. Louis last night. It was the worst team in baseball who beats a playoff team 15-2. So in one game, anything can happen. And that's the thing. You want as much to your advantage as possible. So you want the game at home. You want to be able to have your best guys available to pitch. You want to be as healthy as possible, which hopefully Devin Travis will be back by then. But all you can do is stack the odds in your favor and then flip a coin.
How much pressure go now on when you talk about pitching? How much pressure on a guy like Biagini and how much pressure on a guy like Cecil?
Lots.
Yeah.
Lots. I mean, unless all of a sudden the starters start going seven innings to hand it off to Jason Grilley, and Grilley struggled a bit lately. Even, you know, last night aside, he's had a couple of rough ones. There's a lot. But Brett Cecil has been really, really good lately. And, you know, we forget because the start of the season was so awful. His April was terrible, and he was 1-6. He's had 14 straight scoreless outings. He hasn't allowed a run in 24 of his last 26 outings, but he hasn't been pitching in super high leverage a lot of the time. Now he's going to move back there. Last year, he was pitching in super high leverage all the time, didn't give up a run after Father's Day, and was amazing. So they really need him to, like, they need this not to be a mirage and for Brett Cecil to be a reliable reliever again. Because Joaquin Benoit came here at just before the end of July, gave up one run in 2 months, one run. So that's what they need.
Legitimately, if we're being real, there's one left-handed arm left in the bullpen, right, that you're going to rely on in October?
Two. Francisco Liriano is the other one.
Right.
Because he's not going to be in the bullpen, and he's not going to be in the rotation if everyone stays healthy. And he's a guy who is death to lefties. So it's a really nice weapon to have, and he can also suck up a couple of innings for you if you need it. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think Aaron Loop is in the discussion if that's where you were going.
Yeah.
You know, I look at this club, though, and think, and Buck talked about it, how they kind of got reborn a little bit in Seattle.
Yeah.
You know, even though they didn't win, I think they lost two of the three.
No, they won two or three.
Oh, like two or three in Seattle. But just there's the swagger's back. A little bit of the swagger's back. Rightly or wrongly, the swagger's back.
And they might be back even more after what happened last night.
You think that – well, that was my question. Do you think last night will help or hurt?
It hurts because you lost Benoit.
Okay.
And you might lose Travis.
But as far as
talk about galvanizing,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
and bringing
the
team
it?
Together. I don't understand in baseball how that can help, really. But, they're selfish and there's unselfish. I've always thought if you're a selfish baseball player, that's good. You're trying to get a hit. You're trying to get on base. Trying to hit the ball at the ballpark. But sometimes you're not. You know, you're going to try to pull something off the plate instead of just flipping it in the right field for a single. I don't know if there was a situation when you hear the explanations of yesterday, because it wasn't because Josh Donaldson got hit in the first inning. It was an accumulation of things. We've had enough. There are too many liberties being taken with our guys. So if it's true that that's how people were feeling, and now all of a sudden, hey, look, Jay Happ drilled one of their guys. He's got our back. Everybody back on the train again. It's hard to imagine for me that that's a thing.
Right.
They had won 5 out of 6 games. But, I mean, I can't say it couldn't hurt because you've lost your seventh inning guy who's been amazing, and you've lost your leadoff man for who knows how long. He hopes to be back tomorrow, but who knows?
Well, Travis is going to want to. He wanted to last year. He played through it when he had the bad wing, when he had the bad shoulder. He re-aggravated it there. Do we have any kind of indication of how limited he may be? Is he going to lack some power, how bad the shoulder is?
He says he has full range of motion, which is not something that he had last year each time he aggravated it. And remember, he had to undergo that massive surgery in November and a 20-week recovery period before he could even do anything. So it's not like that. He has full range of motion in his shoulder. They x-rayed him. All the screws are still in place, which is what they were worried about. So that seems to be all right. He hasn't really hit for much power, so I don't know if losing that is a big deal. But I think if he can go, he'll go. And he's a terrific pure hitter. So it'll help. But, yeah, we don't know how long this is going to take.
When the screws are still in place in your shoulder, that's always a good sign.
I'm not worried about the screws in my shoulder. It's the screws in other parts that people are worried about. So, hey, the other story that seems to have gone away, and I assume won't be a factor between now and whatever happens, is the amount of innings that Sanchez pitches and the amount of starts he gets. He just seems to be – is he part of the regular rotation now again? No more trips and this is it?
Well, it has to be, right? There's
yes.
only six games.
No,
left.
But my point. My
but they skipped him twice. They sent him down once, and they skipped him again. He didn't. You know, he had 10 days off after his last start. Mm-hmm. He pitched in the last game in Seattle,
right.
and he's so that was last Wednesday, and he's pitching today. So he's almost had a full week off. And he'll pitch on Sunday if the game matters, and if the game doesn't matter, he'll pitch on Tuesday, so it'll be another week off. But I do think that they're not going to use him like an ace in the playoffs. We don't know how far they're going to go, right? But I have a feeling that Aaron Sanchez will start once a playoff series, as opposed to you would think a guy like him you would use twice. But I think given all the innings that have piled up,
right.
he's only going to pitch once a series.
So Mike Wilner, by the way, is with us. Arash Madani, John Shannon in for Bob and Damian, they'll be back later in the week. We're at the Rogers Center. Big
series.
Good
that you get to wave once in a while.
Yeah. Why not? I like to say hello to the people.
Let's say Sunday's irrelevant. Well, it'll be irrelevant for the Red Sox. If Sunday's irrelevant.
Might not be. They might still be going for first overall, which may be a thing for them, right? You never know. Although if I was the Red Sox, I don't mean to cut you off, but if I was the Red Sox, I would be very, very inclined to not finish first overall.
Take two with Mike Wilner coming down in 5-4. Let's say Sunday's irrelevant
for
the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. If that game doesn't matter for Toronto and their fate is sealed,
yep.
Aaron Sanchez is scheduled to get the ball there.
R.A. Dickey's throwing 200 pitches that day if that happens. R.A. Dickey's throwing a complete game on Sunday. Unless you want to get the bullpen a little work to keep them fresh. But, yeah, if their fate is sealed, if they can't move up and down, if they have secured either the first or second wild card or they're out, Aaron Sanchez is not seeing the baseball that day.
All right. Let's go through this scenario. You know that you have to win in order to get into the wild card.
To get into the wild card on Sunday, Aaron Sanchez is pitching.
And who's pitching the wild card if Sanchez wins?
Stroman. Happ will pitch Saturday.
Right.
It's going to go Stroman tomorrow. No. Liriano tomorrow. So Stroman Thursday, Estrada Friday, Happ Saturday, Sanchez Sunday if they need to win those
right.
games. So it'll be – and the wildcard game will be Tuesday.
Right.
So if Estrada pitches Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, he's still on short rest, it'll be Stroman in the wildcard game,
which I'm
fine with. And, you know, there's not this great clear separation between the four starters. They're all pretty good.
I want to take the hook on your comment about the Red Sox. That you said that
they'd rather that not finish first
Ranish
overall.
Not finish yeah. first overall. Tell me why.
Because Cleveland is likely to finish not first. Like, it's really tight, right?
Yeah.
I think Texas and Boston are tied for first, and the Indians are a game back. But that I could be wrong based on what Texas did last night. But it's really, really tight.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland is without its three best starting pitchers.
Right.
So they're the team you absolutely want to play in the first round. I mean, Danny Salazar pitched out of the bullpen today and is kind of working his way back, but Carlos Carrasco's got a broken hand. He's done. Corey Kluber pulled his groin last night.
Yeah.
Might be done. So, yeah, Cleveland has the number one. They lead the league in ERA. Their strength is their pitching staff, and their pitching staff is completely blown up right now. So they're the ones you want.
You do know what happens when teams
yeah,
kind of try to pick their spot.
I know. It's generally very bad.
Yeah, it's not the right thing to do.
It doesn't stop people from doing it sometimes.
No,
so.
I know, but, I mean, that's not the right thing to do. Win
the
as
other
many
issue,
games.
But the other issue is sitting, guys. The other issue is rest. Remember the Detroit Tigers back in 2012? They swept through the ALCS. They had nearly a week off. Their hitters lost their rhythm. It was bad for Jim Leland's club then.
Same with the Rockies. Remember that 20-game win streak they had? And then they swept and swept and sat 9 days and got swept in the World Series. It's bad to give people too much. The Blue Jays rested everybody the last four games of last year
remember?
And lost the first two games of the playoffs.
Yeah, we were all worried about getting Mark Burley 200 innings last year.
Would have been nice.
Well, it would have been nice. But that became something that, you know, kind of got in the mix.
Yeah, but I don't think it got in the way.
No, but it didn't help them win one of those last couple of games.
No,
that's all my point.
That's
is,
for sure.
You know.
You mentioned Grilly's struggles of late. Is there concern there?
I don't think so. He's still throwing 93, 94. Everything seems to be hard and moving the same, but he didn't miss any bats last night. He faced five guys, gave up five hits, and the lowest exit velocity was 96 miles an hour.
Woo.
So, yeah, most of them, everything else was 99 or more. Most of them were over 100. So he got lit up good. And, you know, it happens. So hopefully he bounces back. But it's not like he was going out there throwing 90 and
right.
walking the world and all that stuff.
Hey, but the one thing you say about a veteran guy like Grilly, I mean, that can't bother him.
No, absolutely.
I mean,
no.
He's got to just
not for more than last night.
Right. You know, yeah. Have another beer and go home.
He's 39 I mean, years old.
Right.
He's blown tons of saves in his life.
If that's the last we saw of Mark Teixeira in this building,
what a way to go. Good for him. You know what? As much as you hate to see it against the Jays, it could be the last home run he ever hits in his career. This might be the last game he plays. I'm sure they'll get him in at home once.
Right.
But, yeah, you know what? He's had a good career. He's been here a long time. The home run on his last swing. He was very clearly offended by everything that's going on. I think it's wonderful. Celebrate your successes. And if you don't want somebody to celebrate against you, do better. And the Blue Jays celebrate their successes, and there's not a thing wrong with that. If it irks Mark Teixeira, well, look, you take him out of the ballpark, tie the game in the ninth inning, and flip your bat. No problem.
The other home run that meant something last night to me was the one in Miami.
That was crazy.
Cool. Yeah. D. Gordon.
D. Gordon's home run. By the time he's around the second base,
even before he got
starting to weep. Yeah. He's starting to weep. What an emotional night that was.
Yeah, that was. And the sad part of the whole – I mean, obviously the sad part of the whole thing, but the crazy part of the whole thing is – this brawl where they're acting like five-year-olds is going on at the exact same time.
Hold on.
Where that's going on.
Lecture him.
Uh-oh. Oh,
lecture him.
Don't lecture him.
Well, what have I walked into?
No. My friend Madani was a little sanctimonious looking at the camera.
I said they behave like children because they were behaving like children.
You said they behave like children.
Oh, that's come what you on, Shannon.
I didn't disagree with you. I just thought you were a little parental in your delivery.
Climb down off that high horse.
He was
far from it.
He was on a 14 hand Clydesdale about that one, but Buck agreed with us too. So
that had to be the best moment. I mean, I shouldn't say bittersweet moment of the season.
Most emotional. Well,
most memorable.
Hardest hitting. Oh, absolutely.
Certainly one of them.
Absolutely.
No,
I mean, we talk about 6 years later. I think. We still talk about the home run that John McDonald hit on Father's Day, right?
Right.
His father died. He came back from the funeral. They had this Father's Day tradition, and it was his first at-bat back. And John McDonald, who never hits home runs, hits a home run. D. Gordon,
first,
who never hits home runs, hits a home run and is, like, in tears, rounding the bases and collapses in tears in the dugout. There it is. And you can see there, it's heart-wrenching. And it's beautiful.
Yeah, and before the game, D. Gordon actually had a long Instagram post that was very personal. What a scene in Miami last night.
And we talked about it on the show last night, Mike. The impact of this guy and his passing
Jose Fernandez around
baseball, not just with the Marlins,
well,
but around baseball.
You know it as well in hockey. It's a tight world.
It did shock me.
Everybody feels everything for everyone. There's so few people who do this, and there's so much you have to go through to do this. And Jose Fernandez went through a lot more than a lot of people do.
Yeah.
It's devastating.
Yeah.
You never expect it. You add the layers to it of – you never expect anyone in their mid-20s to die.
Correct.
And then these athletes who seem so powerful and you know, superhuman, all these things just adds to it. But it is it's a tight shop.
And you saw him Saturday afternoon when he left the clubhouse after the game. You didn't see him Sunday morning.
No.
Well, and
shocking.
You're never going to see him again?
Yeah.
Nor his two friends.
Yeah. Hey, enjoy the game tonight.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
How fun are these next 3 days going to be?
The games are going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. Jay's talk, maybe not so much, depending on the results of the game. But do you feel the angst in
the calls? Like, is it next level
now?
Well,
you know, I have people calling in May saying the season's over.
Well,
but
sure.
It is next level now, for sure. Because legitimately, these are three playoff games. Because the Blue Jays' fate could be determined. If they get swept by the Orioles, they are in a boatload of trouble. If they sweep the Orioles, then they're in very, very good shape going into Boston. And two out of three is not so bad either.
Listen, Doug Walton and his crew do such a great job in the production truck. And I don't know if Troy Clara was the director last night or not. They captured that ninth inning so well on television, cutting from one fan shot to the next. And the angst on the faces of the people in this building last night at 7-3 bases loaded and 7-5 bases loaded and two out was just great theater.
There's a reason they say be careful what you wish for. Yeah. Right? We've wanted this for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, now we're getting it.
Key, important games in September.
Yeah.
You want? We just want to play important games in September.
And this is more than that. At least they're, you know, they're being chased, right? They're the one. They're not
right.
doing the chasing.
Right.
Because it would be just as exciting if they were a game and a half back, but there would be a lot more angst. No. But they're being chased. They've got their destiny in their own hands. But this is as good as it gets.
And this and it could be Baltimore in the wild card game. I'd love to see at some point if it was the Tigers. I love the rivalry and the old rivalry. It would be great.
But then there's Miguel Cabrera and there's Victor Martinez and there's Ian Ginsler and there's Justin Verlander.
Hey,
that's a lot of problems.
Look at these guys: Davis, Machado, Trumbo. I mean,
I'm afraid of those three Tigers more than I'm afraid of these three Orioles. Okay. Though these guys are awful good.
Okay.
Wilner, we'll be hearing you at 7 o'clock. Mike Wilner, Jerry Howe with Joe Siddall on the call. The Blue Jays and the Orioles. This is going to be fun.
This is. Thanks for this, guys.
Yeah, good to see you. Primetime Sports continues. We'll be back as we tee up Game 1 of Canada and Team Europe in the World Cup of Hockey. Jeff Merrick is standing by when we return on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more great sports talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Rogers Center will be a sellout tonight. Again, more than 40,000 will be on hand for the opening game of the Blue Jays and Orioles. So many postseason implications on the line. This is September baseball. These are the Blue Jays who will be without Joaquin Benoit, a torn calf. He's in a walking boot, yet has been told he could possibly return in two or
don't
three
hold
weeks.
Your breath, okay? Don't hold your breath.
About Benoit returning or
yes.
the team playing?
Oh, well, Benoit returning.
Weeks.
Come on.
That's John Shannon. I'm Arash Madani. Bob and Damien will be back in a couple of days.
Don't hold your breath. Sorry, just kidding, boys. Just kidding. Come on.
On Benoit or them?
Or on them. No, yeah, on them. Right, of course on them. I mean, how does this show survive without them?
I'm watching baseball tonight.
Are you? No, you're going to do the dual screen, aren't you? Sportsnet's got the Jays. CBC and Sportsnet 1 has the hockey.
You're going over there.
And you got the hour difference, 7 o'clock baseball, 8 o'clock hockey. Don and Ron, first intermission. You're going to be watching Don and Ron, first intermission. Come on.
Jeff Merrick will be at the Air Canada Center
Indeed.
With John Shannon. He joins us now. What are you doing over there, Merrick?
Facebook Live, Mr. Madani, Mr. Shannon. Good evening. Yeah, Facebook Live show. Me and Colby Armstrong and Ryan Whitney. And it's funny, you guys are talking about the Blue Jays playing right now or a little bit later on. And I was just having a conversation with Vince Bozzo. John, you know Vince. Here at the Air Canada Center, general manager, and he brought up an interesting scenario. We think it's going to be a gong show when the night lets out here this evening after the Canada Team Europe game. And he said we all have our eyes on Thursday because you could have at the same time, and I need some help, the Blue Jays clinching and Team Canada winning the World Cup and then everybody getting out onto the street here on Bremner at the exact same time.
Ooh.
Might be lockdown.
Ooh.
There might be lockdown for a few people.
I'm sleeping in the Air Canada Center, boys. That's essentially what I'm saying. I'm bringing a pillow, my teddy bear, my Sportsnet jammies, and I'm tucking down.
What are you, Sidney Crosby? And you're, wasn't that part of one of the commercial campaigns?
That's right. I'm just going to crawl underneath my desk and sleep.
Does your teddy bear have a team logo on it of any kind, Merrick?
Well, John, do you want to tell Arash my favorite team?
Who's his team?
Other than the Guelph store?
I'm a Blue Jackets fan.
The Guelph store?
I'm a Blue Jackets fan. I'm biased when it comes to my Columbus Blue Jackets. The legacy of Doug McClain has made me a Blue Jackets fan.
No, so speaking of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yes, sir.
And I mean, my friend Merrick is the consummate, and I mean this like so warmly, a consummate hockey nerd, okay? How much did you watch last night?
How much did I watch of the Maple Leafs and the Ottawa Senators?
any of it, any preseason game.
Oh, no.
I just started early. Started at 6 o'clock Eastern. I watched the first two periods by myself and then
went to bed.
And
of course
I took the iPad upstairs and I watched the third period with my kids.
Of course
in
you
bed.
Did.
Marner looked good, boys.
Marner looked good, boys.
It was
Drew Brees and Matty Ice last night.
Forget about that. Bill
to
and
say Hillary. Nothing of the brawl going on over here.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Hillary and Donald. Sorry. Anyway.
Yeah. And then once it was over, I switched to actually watched the debate on Twitter yesterday. Which was an outstanding way to watch it.
Yeah.
Picked up the Bloomberg feed.
Yeah. So now, tonight.
Yes.
Do you give Europe any chance?
A lack of stolen games before.
Yep.
You know, I'm trying to talk myself into the best possible scenario for this tournament.
I mean, you picked the United States to win it, as I recall.
Sweden. I think I had Sweden from the get-go based on the blue line. You know, best case scenario probably would have been a Canada-U.S. final. That's the way, if you look at how the tournament was structured, I think that's how everyone had their fingers crossed.
Absolutely.
The best possible scenario, I think that's pretty obvious by this point. I thought Sweden would perform a lot better, but then I forgot about the head coach, Kronberg, and his propensity to not let, you know, the most galloping bunch of Swedish defense we've ever seen not gallop and just attach bungee cords to their pants and keep them around the net instead of letting them join the rush. Discussion perhaps for another day. But I had Sweden-Canada in the final. As far as giving Europe a chance, I mean, they've had the slingshot out the entire tournament. No one's really given them a chance. They don't play the most exciting brand of hockey. As various people have said, you know, they out-veteran teams. They play that soft, patient, you know, chip-chip conservative game that is, let's face it, it can be boring, it can be dull, but it is effective. But as far as having a chance against, you know, a team that has all stars on all four lines and all three sets of D, and if you get past all that, you have Carey Price. I can't, guys, talk myself into a way outside of Halak stealing it that Team Europe, you know, wins the game.
You don't think that Ralph Krueger, the fact that he knows Babcock's playbook so well, might be able to, you know, just stay ahead of the curve?
Maybe, but it's just going to come down to, I mean, in a short tournament like this, John, you've covered many of them. Does it come down more to systems or does it come down to elite-level skill? You know, I mean,
I'd say a little of both, Jeff. I'd still say a little of both. Yeah.
I think by game six, systems have a bigger factor.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And I look at this tournament and I look at Team Canada, I look at the way Team Canada's constructed, and I look at the various players on this team. And, guys, don't you say to yourself, the fascinating thing about this team was the fascinating thing about the Sochi team as well, in that they will let you dictate what kind of game it will be, and they will beat you at it. If you want to play a speed game, that's fine. You want to play Kitty Bar the Door, that's fine. Like it doesn't. You can play a 6-5 game. You can play a 2-1 game. That's kind of, Canada has the personnel to play any single type of game you want. And what were we saying about the game against the United States? Oh, the U.S. is going to come in and try to run Canada out of the rink. They were fine with that. So, like, you look at that preliminary game against Canada was fine with that style of game. They're fine with a skill game. Like, I don't know, and this is, you know, no disrespect to Ralph Krueger, who's really opened eyes and has been outstanding with this team to the point where if I'm George McPhee in Las Vegas, you know, I'm having a look at, you know, before I name a coach, I'm having an interview with Ralph Krueger. I just can't see a way that you can play a style of game that Canada will not be able to hang with.
You're not buying the Ralph Krueger to Vegas.
No, I'm not. I think he's the chairman in Southampton. I think he's committed there for at least 3 years. And I don't think I worked very closely with Ralph doing a lot of TV in Edmonton when he had a mediocre team in Edmonton. Mediocre being a kind word. I don't think that's the type of team that Ralph would have a very good situation. It wouldn't be a good one for him.
John, don't you think that hockey is baked into the pie, though, when it comes to Ralph Krueger? I mean, guys like that are kind of Hotel California. Check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. Did you kind of get that feeling about Krueger?
I do, but I also see in Ralph Krueger, and what I've known about Ralph Krueger for many years is his leadership skills, which have translated well beyond the game of hockey, and which is why he's in Southampton. I mean, why he got the job. He actually was at a conference with the daughter of the owner of the Southampton Football Club, and she was mesmerized by his leadership speech. And she said, would you come and deal with us for our soccer club? Next thing you know, he's the chairman. And and I think we've seen over the last 6 or 7 days how magnanimous and what a leader he truly is, and how he understands how to motivate elite athletes. So he's the flavor of the day. I like Ralph, but he's the flavor of the day right now. There are probably more
but
practical.
But sports is about that. Sports is about that, and that's but how George a lot McPhee, of these guys get hired.
Yeah, I might want Ralph to be my second coach in Vegas, because the first coach is only going to last 2.5 years.
Right.
But if you're Las Vegas, I mean, not unlike Team Europe, you're going to be a number of players aboard. You know, some of them are going to be some decent players. They're going to get a good goaltender. They're going to get a really good, or maybe a couple really good number four defensemen from a couple of teams. Anaheim, I'm looking your direction. I mean, Kruger's been able, albeit it is a small audit. I understand that. It's only a 2-week tournament. But he's been able to bring, you know, players from 8 different countries, many of which have never played on the same team or never played internationally with one another, and been able to find a way to get these guys to gel. And we're going to go through an expansion draft. We're going to have to bring a lot of players from a lot of different teams who have never played together and hope that they can gel automatically. I don't know. If I'm George McPhee, that's kind of at least to have the conversation. You know, what's the philosophy, Ralph? What would you do if you had this team? If I'm Vegas, I'm at least having a conversation with Ralph.
Jeff Merrick joins us from the Air Canada Centre. He's there for the World Cup of Hockey Game 1, Canada and Team Europe. The background noise you're hearing is at the Rogers Center. It's the PA announcer. The Blue Jays opening up their final home series of the season.
See, now, hold on. Now, let's get this straight. Merrick watched hockey and the debate last night, and no one would have loved more of what happened on the field here last night with the brawl than Merrick.
Than Merrick.
He's probably bought the video already. You know, I mean, he's probably got it in the archive. The Blue Jays, you know, bench clearers, right?
That's right, yeah. Never mind hockeyfights.com, it's baseballbrawls.com.
There you go.
I was going to say,
the first conversation, John, you'll love it. The first conversation that I had with one of the ushers when I walked in was, hey, did you see those fights last night? It's not about, Canada and Europe and whatever. No, it's the brawl last night between the Blue Jays and the Yankees.
They obviously know you.
Bless you, Merrick, if you're the one paying for content still. Real quick, guys, Carey Price. You know, the year from hell last year, there were so many questions coming into this season. Having gone through the tournament, he's back in prime form. We all know this. Do the Canadians manage him at all differently this season? Do you lighten the workload? Do you remove a handful of starts, maybe more, from him this year just to make sure the body can hold up?
Jeffy?
Well, the one thing that I was told at the beginning of this tournament from a goaltending coach in the NHL, he said, watch Carey Price's crouch. And if he's deep in his crouch, he's fine. But if you see him come up a little bit in his crouch, like he used to play pretty much before Stefan Waite really started to work with him seriously, then you know there's still some problems. But in this tournament, we've seen that deep crouch. That's the Vezina Trophy Carey Price. That's the Carey Price that explodes into position. And that, for this one goalie coach I talked to, would be the indication that he is 100% healthy.
Sure.
Having said all that, I am more sensitive than ever, considering listen, goaltenders with the hips and the knees and the groin, the way it's up and down and up and down, not just in games but in practice as well. I am taking a closer look at him, but this is daily consultations with Stefan Waite, the goalie coach, and with Carey Price. But I think a lot of it comes down to, Carey, how many games are you comfortable with? Please be honest with us.
And you know what? Here's the thing. There's a real belief, I think, with this club. If Carey Price can see the puck, he will stop the puck.
Right.
And then his position is so strong. He makes the game look so simple. It's absolutely amazing, Arash.
Jeff, we appreciate it. You'll be down at the Air Canada Centre tonight, Facebook Live, with Ryan Whitney and Colby Armstrong. And, of course, there is a viewing party out there in Maple Leaf Square.
Stay out of Maple Leaf Square, Jeff.
Canada and Team Europe Game 1. The Blue Jays and the Orioles coming up in just a couple of minutes here on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks. We thank Gary Bettman, Buck Martinez, Mike Wilner, Gary Thorne, and Jeff Merritt. Edwin Encarnacion and the Blue Jays loosening up. big series. For John Shannon, I'm Arash Madani. We'll be back at the Rogers Center tomorrow. Have a good night, everybody.